Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. You're welcome again to the Game on Sunday podcast. Michael Lester here with you. And as usual on the podcast, I am joined by Tomás Mulcahy, and we have a special guest on this particular podcast again that I'm so looking forward to talking to in a little while. Tomás, before we do that, let's just talk a little bit about hurling, because we're in December, we're looking at Christmas, and the club championships, both in hurling and in football, are still in full swing. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely in full swing, Michael, you know, and... We're kind of saying to ourselves, you know, we kind of mentioned earlier in terms of the protracted season at the county level, and you're still kind of in December, and club championships are a full pelt, right? You know, so and is it the best time of the year for this to happen? But look, it is what it is. Last weekend, you were seeing the quality of Ballygunner very much at stake in terms of their kind of it was an easy victory in the end, 224-17 against Clonlara from Clare, very very impressive. You know, I think that's their third Munster final victory in a row. They had massive success at club level in terms of the county championship success over the last 10, 11 years. And then they're replicating that by performance at club level, which is fantastic to see, because they are a very, very good hurling team. They play the game with style, but they all buy into the system and the way they play the game. And they were awesome against Clonlara, and that's not taken from Clonlara. Tried to keep themselves in the game, but as early as the 10-15 minute of the first half, this game there was almost over as a contest.
Ah, sure, yeah. But as I said, it swings on as we come to the end of the year. Another issue, Tomás, this week in Gaelic games. Now, this won't impact, I suppose, until next season. But at the same time, it's raised its head again, which is matches on GAA Go, and Cork actually find themselves, Cork Hurlers, with three games, isn't it, in the championship on GAA Go. And it raises the debate again.
It does, Michael, and we had big arguments about this ourselves throughout the championship, very much at the start of the year. We asked Cropar for questions in terms of what was the structure of it? How was the money being the money that was being generated? Where was it going? Were RT getting a portion of the receipts as well as GA? I've just read recently where it has been a success for this year. They are in profit, and you just look at it and you say to yourself, for a county the size of Cork, having three games on GA Go, are they looking at the revenue stream? Or are they looking at providing an audience with top-class hurling that people can actually watch free to hear? Because some of them are very, very good games. And I know there is a bit of something at the end of it. If it's still in the mentoring pod in terms of the Munster Championship, they have an option then to actually cover Tip and Cork in the last game in Turles on RTE. But look, I think We're going to hear a lot more about this, Michael. You have kind of Rebels Online here in Cork, where guys are subscribing for club championship. Now you're going to be asked to subscribe for inter-county games from a Cork perspective. You will have limited audience capacity, and that's probably another one as well, because you won't get the big numbers traveling to Welsh Park because the limited capacity there. So it's going to be available on GAA Go. And I know Croke Park have kind of said only for GAA Go. Nobody would see the game lines. Nobody would see the games live on that weekend or the three weekends that they're talking about. But I don't agree to that, to be honest with you. Cork is a big Cullen County, the same as everybody else, same as anybody else all over the country. And we must have a structure in place where the games, do they have to go ahead Saturday and Sunday? Do they have, why isn't the season kind of be discussed in terms of expanding that season out a little bit more? They have to play all the games at one weekend. You know, some games where some teams are going to play on a Saturday and the following Sunday week they play again, and then they might have a match for another 2 or 3 weeks after that. And why that can't be coordinated properly, that, and it gives players a break, Michael, and we mentioned this as well so many, many times over the last number of months about player welfare as well. Somebody gets an injury and you're ruled out of the championship. You have a championship runoff in a period of 6 to 8 weeks, and then we've nearly the full summer free from inter-county hurling. I think it just, I don't know why there's not a further discussion, why it's not being reviewed more, because to me, it's not right, to be honest.
I know, Smoss, we've talked about this, as you said, several times this year in these podcasts and whatever. And I suspect we're going to find ourselves talking about the whole thing a little bit more. But anyway, look, we can't change the system. All we can do, I suppose, is express views on it and whatever. Anyway, apart from all that, in the last couple of episodes from us here on the podcast, we have been chatting to some famous names in Gaelic games. And this time, I am happy to say that we have another one. And when I say another one, a really special one. 3-time All-Ireland winner, 5 All-Stars, 6 Ulster titles, 2 National Leagues, international rules captain, etc., etc. Sean Kavanagh of Tyrone, you're very, very welcome indeed. How are you keeping, sir?
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, keeping great. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, a bit strange in the off season, just missing the county stuff. But yeah, keeping busy with family and life and business and everything else that goes with it.
And club, Sean.
And the club, yeah, only wrapped up with the club there the last week or two. So yeah, I've had to take up a new sport and play a bit of basketball to try and get me out of the house and make sure I've nothing to do with the 4 kids for a few nights of the week.
I didn't think you'd be into a non-contact sport, Sean.
It's not that non-contact when you're jumping with these American guys that are 6'7" and they're elbowing you in the face. Like it's a bit more like running into John Small down the middle of the hill.
Oh yeah, I hear you. Don't worry, I do. You have decided that I suppose in a kind of a way enough is enough. You know, you've won everything. You've played for Tyrone and the club, of course, Moy, and so on, and you've decided it's time to step back. I get the impression you've made a big decision, and I think maybe a right one. But are you totally convinced yourself? Because of course it's not a brick wall. You know, there'll be days, I'm sure, that you will say to yourself, "Jeepers, I should still talk out."
Do you know what, Michael? I'm coming 41. I would think I needed to grow up and wise up a little bit, but at the same time, then you kind of see John Doyle playing for his club at like 45, and you have that little sort of demon in the back of your mind wondering, well, look, maybe. Do you know what? It is like a drug. Well, for me, it has been anyway. I've been playing for the club. I made my debut when I was 15 in 1998. So I've had 25 sort of good years with the club. But yeah, I could go on for another 25 if I was let. But yeah, unfortunately, sort of life and everything that look, I've 4 kids, 2 girls and 2 boys, and they're into everything and anything. And I think there comes a time where you have to I've kind of sacrificed everything else around me to promote myself for the vast majority of my life, and it just becomes a time that you have to start to sacrifice yourself for the promotion of others. And I think I've reached that point. And look, I have zero regrets as well, which is class, because I'm one of these sorts of guys. Whenever I get into something, I just go full tilt, and I've gone full tilt for so long at this point. And I've just been so incredibly lucky. I just love the game. I just love the sport, and I've been addicted to it for so long.
And I suppose the other thing about it is, Sean, that this year you've also been involved in the management of Moy, apart from playing yourself and that kind of stuff. So that's been another task that you've taken aboard.
Yeah, probably a little bit that by default. Yeah, we weren't going so well mid-year, and I just had to try and steady the ship. So I was asked to kind of take over, and we actually did really well. We got the county final, which we could and should have won, and then we lost in a promotion playoff then as well. But apart from that, it was a very positive experience. And okay, it's one of these things. I'm a very traditional and bit of a romantic person around your own club. And I know a lot of people have lots of passions for other people's clubs, and there's various reasons why that could be a case. But I'm one of these guys that I love my community. I love my tribe. I love my people. And I can't see myself ever getting involved with anyone outside of my own club, the Moy, or maybe outside of Tyrone, who knows, somewhere down along the line. But I was offered that opportunity, and I kind of felt as if I couldn't say no. And thankfully, it went fairly good.
Well, also, did you were jumping in there?
Yeah, Sean, I'm just delighted to hear that about your affection for your club and what it means to you, because I always say the stars of tomorrow are going to come from our club, and you obviously one of those stars that played with Tyrone for so many years. When you went back from Tyrone to the club yourself, did you enjoy that time to maybe play with the guys that you grew up with, or go back to the guys again? Because I've heard that from a couple of guys. Yeah, once you go back to your club, oh my God, you don't have the county scene behind it, that you could really enjoy it.
Whenever I was finished up with Tyrone, I actually really feared the void that I thought was going to be there. It all happened pretty quickly for me. And I finished up with Tyrone, I think Dublin Beast's semi-final of 17 in around August, mid-August time. And we were sort of parachuted into the club championship, which we ended up winning the intermediate. And 5 months later, I was standing at Croke Park with my club. And that is the first time that's ever happened. And we won an intermediate All-Ireland club. Do you know what, Tomás? That I know it sounds a little bit dramatic or whatnot, but that freezing cold night, it was a Saturday night in the early February 2018, there was 8,000 or 9,000 people there on a dark Saturday evening, and it meant as much to me standing there with my dad, my mom, my kids, all my sort of family standing in Hogan Stand freezing. But the buzz and the joy that I got out of that was equal to anything that I got on a county. It wasn't as flamboyant. It wasn't as noisy. It wasn't as exciting, maybe at times. But in terms of the sort of deep core sort of satisfaction you get out of the game you start to wonder why you play a sport. And I took up sport, I would say, primarily because my granddad was a club president and was always at the pitch. My dad played until he was early 40s. You do it for those sorts of passing down the generations of your people and your tribe. I've now had 5 or 6 years just fully focused on the club, and I've loved every minute of it. And the void, Maybe the training isn't as high intensity, but equally that's maybe as enjoyable as anything, because I think maybe the training's got to the sort of ridiculous level of county level nowadays. So I've been able to kind of go back and play at a more relaxed level and really enjoy the sport and enjoy connecting with the people around my community that ultimately I hope I'm going to live for the next numbers of years with.
Hi, you're Ronnie Garson. Jeez, I love that. I love it. I love the passion.
I love
the passion, Sean.
No, thank you.
Let me take you back, Sean, to when you started off And you started, obviously, underage with Tyrone, and a successful minor team that I suppose was the grassroots, if you like, of what came afterwards.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, we had a really, really strong sort of underage setup, Michael, in around that sort of late '90s, early 2000s in Tyrone, and that was I was a couple of years after the kind of back that come along that was the Cormac McAnallans and Brian McWiggins and Kevin Hughes's and Philip Jordan's and all those guys all come along at once, and then myself and next to Joe McMahon and Tommy McGuigan, guys like that, all come together then as well. So there really was a real emergence of serious talent in around that sort of early 2000s, and yeah, luckily I was part of one of those teams, and we were just riding the crest of a wave. And to be honest, it all, as these things do, it all happens just so quickly, whereby we had two or three teams over a few years that had won minors, including our own team, and then had won under-21s as well with Mickey Hart at that stage. And it just felt that, you know, we just carried that momentum from those winning teams straight into senior level. Most of us were fairly young at ourselves at that point in time, and then whenever you're kind of joining a team along with the likes of sort of Peter Canavan, who most of us had kind of looked up to for most of our lives and supported and idolized, it just was a remarkable time in pro football. And now I look back at it, and people still to this day will often say to me, like, that was Tyrone's golden generation. And I think it was. I hope we do, but we may not see sort of an aligning of stars the way we did in that period, and I was just so lucky to be part of that.
Oh, there's no question, I think, Sean and Thomas, that was a golden era for Tyrone football. And I remember going back years ago, after you guys won the All-Ireland, your first All-Ireland, we were on an All-Stars trip, and I remember walking down the plane at one stage and looking around me, and normally on those All-Stars trips, Tomás, you would see Kerry players or Dublin players or whoever else might be prominent at the time. And just on that particular one, to look around you and to see all these Tyrone players who are now All-Stars and All-Ireland winners and part of the elite group, if you like, of football. It was like a seismic shift, if you like, in Gaelic football at that time.
Yeah, I suppose, Michael, yeah, you had the pleasure of enjoying all those trips, you know, whereas I was only going on the small ball side of it, but you had the best of both worlds from your side. And but yeah, look, what they contributed with Sean and like the Peter Canavans and the Gaelic football over the years has been phenomenal. And everybody down south watching them and see the Northern success was fantastic, because look, I think we all remember the event of Peter Canavan coming back on the field of play again and being so successful, right? I mean, there were amazing scenes. And look, you get your just reward. You win your All-Ireland, so you play very well for your county team. You get your All-Star success. And like, you know, you mentioned the five All-Stars and Footballer of the Year award. It's a phenomenal achievement for Sean. Brilliant. And I'm sure he enjoyed the All-Star trips as well as you did, Michael.
I definitely didn't enjoy them as well as Michael did. Now, Michael,
Michael
is probably going to the drinks trolley that way, walking up and down the line.
I'd say, Lester, I've got to be. I'd say, Lester, you've got to be careful here because
I didn't say anything. It was him that said it, not me.
Brilliant!
Through that period of the early 2000s, Sean. Apart from your good selves in Tyrone, of course, we also had Armagh emerge at the same time. So to make this kind of, if you like, Ulster dominance, if you like, of football through that period.
Yeah, and you know what, Michael? I start to kind of reflect back even for myself growing up. Like whenever I started to get in and started to go to the sort of Tyrone games and really pay focus to the county game, there was a real sort of Ulster football dominance of that early 90s with the Downs and Derrys and Donegals, and Tyrone and Armagh probably missed out on that, and it was then only in around that sort of early 2000s and that Armagh obviously made the breakthrough in 02, and that kind of ignited, I would say, a fire in ourselves and none more so probably than myself, who was a man who was going to school in Armagh at that point in time, had a girlfriend in Armagh, and I only live a few miles from Armagh myself. So had a lot of sort of Armagh Orange connections, and whenever we realised that Armagh could make the breakthrough, it really stoked the fire in ourselves. And I remember that was the kind of motivation in 2003. It was like, okay, if Armagh can go and beat Kerry on our final day, why could we not? Because we were, I suppose, beaten at an underage. That's the age we were playing with a lot of them and sort of universities in Belfast and whatnot. And we certainly didn't see ourselves as second-class citizens. So that really fired us on. And through those sorts of next 5 or 6 years, there really was a real duel emerging between ourselves and Armagh in particular. And obviously, you had a couple of southern teams through in there as well. Kerry weren't so bad then. They kind of come back, kept coming back and forward at us as well. But there was a real sort of golden era between Tyrone and Armagh, which we really reveled in up to that point, we probably did somewhat the next second class citizens. I remember growing up and the likes of Magranda and whatnot, talking about the 86 final where Tyrone were whatever 7 or 8 points up and Kerry come back and beat them by 10, and he was more or less acknowledging, well, you know, Tyrone aren't at the level of Kerry. So we always, from that moment in time, I suppose we carried that little bit of a chip in our shoulder, and whenever Armagh made the breakthrough, then we felt it was our time to go, and go we did.
You certainly did. There's no question about that. And I suppose, you know, you mentioned the fact where you come from and the rivalry between the two counties and all that kind of stuff. I remember when you guys played in your first All-Ireland, being up in Moy, actually, just the other side of the bridge there, and talking about that to one or two former players and all that kind of stuff, you know, about you could look across the fields nearly, you know, at your close rivals.
Yeah, well, look, our football pitch, Michael, as it still stands, it always has stood, runs alongside River Blackwater. It bloods.
Yeah.
River Blackwater versus Bank, but the River Blackwater, like, you literally can kick, and it does happen. The ball goes into County Armagh over the water on a fairly frequent basis. So, yeah, and the club itself would be a mixed club with as much orange as there is in red in it as well. So, it's all in around that time, and particularly in 03 with a sort of Tyrone Armagh novelty final, the Moy in particular was absolutely rocking. It was just a remarkable time to be around the town.
I think we should mention the influence on you guys and the talented team that you were back in those days, but the influence of Mickey Hart and his backroom team on what they brought to Tyrone football back in those days, because I think that helped to push it on.
It did, Michael. Like, and you know what? Even suppose you're thinking now, 20 years later, Mickey's now going to a team. I think that is probably quite similar to the team that we were in around that through 2002. In around 2002, we were a remarkable team. Big Art and Eugene were Rovers at that stage, and they were doing a great job. We kind of walked the National League in Division One. We We slipped up with a few injuries. We slipped up in the last 16 against Sligo, but we were a team almost ready to win. And I suppose what Mickey and the type of man he is, he's a very stubborn and a very serial winner is the best way I can probably put him, whereby he made sure that we didn't feel second class to anyone, and he was brilliant on the psychology side of things to really push us over from being, are we good enough, to yes, we most certainly are good enough. So he just added that little bit of sort of arrogance and a little bit of the swagger to our game that really meant that whenever it came to playing the Kerrys or the Armaghs, we were given the best account of ourselves. So yeah, Mickey definitely had the kind of magic sauce that kept us that extra 5% we really needed to go.
Well, that's I suppose what you need, those extra couple of percent. That can be the difference between winning and losing. Let's move you on, Sean, to when your inter-county career finished and now your club commitments are stepping back a bit. The Sunday game, you've seen both sides of it. In other words, you've been on the panel, but you've also been on the receiving end from the panel.
Yeah, and, brilliant.
And that famous day when Joe Brawley, whom I could not stop because I didn't get a chance to open my mouth, but he went on a rant about Tyrone generally and about you also. Do you look back on that? Do you chuckle at it, or what do you think, or have you any thoughts at all about it?
I'll accept that apology for not stopping on Michael. thanks a million for the bad one. I think Joe is that much of a colourful character. I actually really enjoy watching him and listening to him, and even whenever, and still, he still abuses me from time to time, which is probably the same with most people he talks about. But at the same time, you need that bit of colour and that bit of an enigma. I think that's what a lot of people, I think Joe probably crossed the line that day, as he did on a few other occasions. But at the same time, The drama and entertainment of it, Michael, I even as a person on the receiving end, I actually did enjoy it, and I do look back at it and kind of laugh, because I'm able to see it for what it was. I'm never the type of person that would want to single out or abuse anyone on an individual basis on that level. I don't think the GA should be doing that, because it might be different if it's someone playing for Man United and earning $200,000 a week, and that's kind of their job, and they'd be criticised for not carrying out their profession. But as an amateur game, I don't think we should be targeting individual players, because I've sat there with players. Thankfully, I probably am very thick-skinned to myself, but I've sat in change rooms with players that just aren't like that, and really did crumble and really did go into depths of despair over what was said about them online or on TV. And you know, people are very influenceable over what's maybe said on the likes of the Sunday game or some of the other sort of broadcasts. So yeah, I think on that occasion he went too far. But do I think there's room for entertainment and a little bit of cracks, for want of a better word? I do, and I think sometimes, you know, the Sunday game can lack that if it's a little bit too. Sometimes we're sitting there and we're trying to, as you well know, we're trying to fit an analysis of a game into a minute and 15 or something.
Sure, yeah.
Exactly, Sean, yeah. Yeah.
A little bit sort of workmanlike. So, look, I think there is room for a little bit of colour, but yeah, you maybe crossed the line a little bit that day.
Michael, there was plenty of colour, Tomás, a year or two ago between Sean and Pat Spillane, where I was looking at it just this morning, would you believe? And I was, again, as I said, Sean, a minute ago, about chuckling at things, kind of. Pat went on a rant, and you were on the panel with him. And it was like one of those things. It was like a runaway train that you couldn't stop. And you made a few attempts to kind of intervene. Match was in Croke Park anyway, I remember. But it was actually very funny.
Yeah,
well, but basically, the two of you were telling the other one to shut up, more or less. Kind of.
But easier said than done when it comes to Pat.
Yeah, we found that on the hurling side of it ourselves, right? In the hurling pundits, we were even trying to tell Bradley and Spillane to shut up because they had comments on the hurling as well. So you're not alone. Can I just ask you, in terms of the Bradley rant that time, did that hurt you? Did you take that personally yourself in terms of, you know, inside?
It did a little bit, Tomas, yeah. The thing that probably hurt me a little bit about is because I knew how because Joe's such a big personality, a lot of people follow him, a lot of people will take his word as gospel. And I suppose what hurt me is that I never considered myself in my entire career. I think I was sent off once maybe at Intercounty Lab for two bookings. So I never considered myself as a dirty player. I always approached every game with a mindset of scoring and attacking and a skill-based game. But it was the influence that I knew that would have on everyone else around me. And you know, I was getting people, like I'm an accountant, I was getting businesses going to me saying, God, what did you at the weekend? You know, what type of doctor are you?
Yeah.
I suppose that hurt me probably as much as anything. And then the backlash around, I suppose, like the likes of a family wouldn't be as strong as I would be, and it would take things very much to heart. And I know that actually my mom and dad were fairly cut up about it as well. So, okay, I think it annoyed me because I knew it would annoy a lot of people, and then it would maybe reflect poorly on what I felt. I was never a dirty footballer, really. So that, I suppose, that did annoy me.
Okay, and the next question: How's your relationship with Bradley now? Would you go for a pint together?
I'll see him there from time to time. Aye, and like, you know, it wouldn't matter what he says about you the day before. Like, he's a very kind of gregarious character.
Yeah,
you can't not have a laugh at him. So yeah, no, I'd have met him at a right few sort of events, kicking around and whatnot. And that's no issue. I've always spoken to him. I've been in the game that long. I genuinely don't think I hold a grudge or an anger with anyone. Everyone says things at a time when maybe they feel they were right or whatnot. Look, I probably said a few things as well myself that I kind of look back after it was good, right? Look, that might have been a little bit out of context or a little bit aggressive, but life's too short to kind of hold grudges.
It's good.
I think Tomas, just to cut in on that, fairness to Bradley, he is that kind of character that he can say things sometimes and have strong views, and sometimes, as Sean said a minute ago, maybe cross a line and that kind of stuff. But he's also the kind of guy that no matter what, as you alluded to, you could sit down and have a pint with him, no matter what he says about you.
That's
fair enough.
Well, that's my good. That's kind of the point I was asking, right? Because I've seen Bradley in action. I've had him down in Park here at different events. And look, he does have a cut off of people. And I'm just kind of in the cold light the day afterwards. He'd pick up the phone and say, maybe I was out of order there or something like that, right? So I'm just kind of delighted to hear, like, you know, that, yeah, it hurt at the time, which was important. And then, you know, we say you're wearing the other hat, you're on RT, and maybe expectation is that you must have a cutoff of people, but I like your mentality in terms of, like, nobody goes out to play a bad game. Still, it's an amateur sports game. People have to get up and go to work in the morning. That was my mentality in terms of the hurling, that I never really attacked an individual. Well, Bradley will attack an individual all the time.
Yeah. Look, whatever you can see, how dangerous it is. I remember sitting beside a player, and not name him, but he was a forward for Tyrone, and we had played a game and we'd lost. And I was sitting beside him eating dinner after the game, and he clipped on his phone, and there was all this abuse around how poorly he'd played and whatnot. And I genuinely saw, I think that was the last time I saw that player start for the county, because I remember being at training with him. I remember seeing him, the reaction. He didn't eat that. He didn't eat his dinner that day beside me.
Yeah.
He cleared off. And I remember even watching him in training, the next couple of training sessions, and he just lost that kind of sparkle that he had as an underage star. And I remember thinking to myself, going, that guy has just got too wound up by the sort of noise that's happening outside, and he kind of went downhill as a footballer, and I would attribute a lot of that to the kind of online abuse that he got and the sort of media stuff that was out there at that time. And I suppose people need to be mindful of that you're dealing with sort of impressionable young people in a lot of cases, and guys that maybe aren't set up to kind of deal with that level of scrutiny and abuse. So yeah, look, I try to take that approach now in my own punditry.
Well, so this is the problem, Sean and Tomás, about social media. I don't want to get into a big debate about all of this kind of thing, but it's now giving a voice to idiots who used to complain in the pub at night time to a couple of their mates who were having pints with them. And now you can get on your phone and you can send out messages across the globe, essentially, kind of, you know, spouting all kinds of nonsense about people that you know nothing about, kind of, you know. So anyway, look, that's a different debate, different argument. Sean, I mentioned earlier on the fact that you got involved in the management of Moy this year to help them out and that kind of stuff. Can I ask you this question? Now that your football days are pretty much behind you, would you consider management at this point, either Moy or further afield? When I say further afield, you mentioned your loyalty to, obviously, the club and to Rome and that kind of stuff. Could you see a role for yourself going forward from that point of view?
I would never say never, Michael. I love football that much. It's just trying to balance the sort of time. I've had a currency practice with six offices now, so I'm very busy during the day, and then I've got four kids that are very busy in the evening. So I suppose I'm probably in that phase of my life that everything is very busy. But at the same time, I would never say never, because I just know how addicted I've been to the sport and how much I've loved it. And I am kind of naturally very analytical, and I have a passion for I suppose watching trends in games, and thankfully I've been able to sort of play with a lot of the best players and see players over the last sort of few generations or a few decades, really. So yeah, I would never say I'll not get involved again in management, because I do think it's something that could help carry that little bit of, or that massive amount of passion that I have for the game. I just don't know when, but if it is, I think it probably will be. It'll have to be with a team that I have a huge amount of sort of passion for. I'm just one of those people I think I'd find it very hard to say no to my own people, but I've no bother saying no to other people.
And Michael, could I just follow up on that, which you might, or Sean there, just on Michael's question, in terms of your opinions on the intercounty scene now and where it's at in terms of the demands that are there. We've done a couple of, and we've had a couple of guests over the last couple of weeks, and kind of some of them that have just recently retired from the intercounty game, and they're saying it's gone to another level. Where's it all going to go, or where's it all going to finish in terms of your mind, Sean? It is 24/7. It is nonstop in terms of.
I said 6 years ago, Tomás, whenever I retired, I said that there literally was nothing more I could see even could be done. As in, like, I virtually, in those last couple of years, everyone in Tyrone was given everything. As in, like, we were training every single evening. There was guys up training in the morning. Everything in your life was sacrificed for it. And I think that is wrong. I think because... And I've spoken to so many people who everyone talks about stepping out of the bubble. And I've spoken to so many county lads in the last 5 or 6 years that have maybe recently finished up, and I've said to them, God, are you missing it? And they'll kind of look at me and go, no, I'm actually not, you know, because I couldn't believe how much energy and effort I kind of had to put into something that still is an amateur sport. We all love it deeply. But at the same time, I think a lot of guys now are missing out on lives, as in, like, it's not just a hobby anymore. It almost is like a job, just one you don't get paid for in a lot of cases. And it was a little bit, you know, not like not the pretty picture that everyone wants to paint, but The amount of people that I meet now that really look at me and go, you know what, it maybe wasn't worth it. It maybe wasn't worth all that effort. Maybe wasn't worth all that turmoil. It maybe wasn't worth all the grief that I got online. And that's sad, because I think the guys should be, like, the guys that play in the top part of our game should be revered by everyone. They should be enjoying it. Their family should be enjoying it. And there's just more and more people that are seeing it now, I think, as a little bit of a chore. Surely there's the big days. Surely there's a couple of winners every year. But there's I think proportionally we've lost a little bit of sort of sparkle of joy from from being a county player.
Totally agree with you. Yeah.
Over to you, Michael. I suppose the other side of it, lads, is I hear totally what you guys are saying, and I agree with you, actually. But the other side is, because of the popularity these days of Gaelic games, if nobody cared, then nobody would give a Highland fling what training you did or didn't do or whatever. It's because the games are so popular that there are so many demands and the envelope is being pushed all the time. And I suppose that's a consequence of being in a successful sport, as you have in this country. Before we close off, lads, Tomás, I want to come back to you, because you've got a big event coming up at the weekend in Cork on Saturday. And this is, of course, in memory of your old colleague, Teddy McCarthy.
Yeah, Michael, and thanks for that opportunity. And like Sean mentioned about the joy and, you know, the pride in wearing the jersey and stuff like that as well. And look, no better a man than Teddy McCarthy, and who passed away sadly this year. Great friend to us all in Cork GAA, and we have two games coming up next weekend in Páirc Uíomh. Cork play Meath at 3 o'clock, and Cork play Galway at 5 p.m. Now, just to clarify, it isn't the 1990 teams that are playing. People are asking me, am I talking out? They're looking forward to seeing me in a pair of shorts and a pair of boots. Right, so that's not going to happen. We might be waving to the crowd, but there'll be an overcoat, I can tell you, on me as well, right? And also, but I'm asking people that are going to listen to our podcast there, if you want to come to the game, it's £20 a ticket. All kids under 16 are free. It's a Páirc Uíomh experience day. There will be lots of entertainment, kids' games at halftime. His famous SARS club playing against his own Sons, Keane's club from Passage, and a team from Knott Monastery School participating as well. So it's going to be a fantastic occasion. And look, what a legend this guy was for hurling and football. And no different to Sean Kavanagh, the memories still linger on of him going so high up into the air, catching the football and plucking the sliver out of the air as well. So hopefully we can get bums on seats, get big numbers into Páirc Uíomh on Saturday.
Well, I know, Tomás, how well admired, and you obviously know Teddy was in Cork GAA circles and outside that as well. I have absolutely no doubt you're going to have a great day and a great evening there. And well done to everybody involved in putting that together. Lads, it's been fantastic to talk to you. I'm going to let the two of you go. Thank you indeed for your time. To Tomás Mulcahy and especially Sean Kavanagh, you're very, very good to come and join us. And I really enjoyed it. And as I said, congratulations on a fantastic football career, and look, I think we might see you down the road again someplace along the sideline.
You never know. No, delighted to be chatting to you, Salas. Thank you, Michael and Tomás, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Sean, and if you're ever down in Leaside, down in Rebel Land here, give me a shout and we'll get a hurling ball for you and put it in your hand, and it might change your sport for you. Good man yourself. Appreciate that, Sean.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.